Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Alien Talk. Today we're joined by Fringe, who's an experiencer. Just to give people a little background about yourself, you used to be police. You were involved in many investigations. You showed up to court many times, hundreds of times, as you described. So I think what we'll do is we'll just start off with your experiences first, okay? So when did it start from you? When did it start for you? Was it like everyone else as a kid growing up, and then it kind of lessens in your mid-teens and then again picks up in your 30s? Is that how it went for you?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even know that little tidbit that it picks up in the 30s. That is how it went for me. I was 3.5 years old the first time I saw what I would now characterize as aliens in my bedroom. And then when I was a small child, I actually had what people would probably refer to as an imaginary friend, but it was as real could be. And it was this tiny little green entity. And I would now refer to it as almost a like a fairy or a type like that. He actually looked kind of like Groot, like baby Groot. Yeah, he was super tiny, a little green thing. He used to live in a envelope pocket in my left hand. Super weird, I know, but we talk about weird things here, right?
Yeah, well, I've heard people have an imaginary friends before,
Yeah.
kid children, but when it comes to the
Yeah.
phenomenon, it's usually like it turns out to be a gray or something, you know?
Yeah, it turns out. Yeah.
But the Groot character seems a bit strange.
Yeah, it was super weird. Of course, I didn't think that at the time. But later on, when I really started kind of looking into my own case and I spoke to a couple of researchers about it, they said it's actually quite common. And apparently that's what they do, is they appear as a cartoon character or something more friendly. Especially to children.
Yeah, do you know what
It's
did that
so.
excellently? Did you ever watch the miniseries Taken by
Oh,
S Steven Spielberg?
I just watched it this last year. Yeah.
Yeah, he got so many things accurate. That's why I've got like my own little theory that he's like involved in it somehow. Like I don't know.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but like he had like the character of like I think it was like an imaginary squirrel coming up to
The
the
squirrel.
window. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so. If I'm remembering right, yeah. But anyway, you had this happen to you, okay? And when did
Yeah,
you...
and then I've seen the Easter Bunny too.
Oh.
And actually, what happens is I'm now fast forward. I'm now in touch with a lot of abductees, and 9 times out of 10, if they say something, I could say, "Yeah, me too," and I don't, because otherwise I'll be constantly saying, "Yeah, me too," instead of letting them tell their own story. But yeah, so I had this entity that lived in my hand. And then when I was about 6 or 7, I actually had probably had a near-death experience. I don't remember being on the other side, but I remember like knowing this is it. Like this, there's no coming back from this. And then next thing I knew, I was actually it was a frozen pond that I had thought I drowned in. And so next thing I knew, I was actually being saved from this frozen pond. After seeing the white light and stuff like that. And so I had that when I was a kid. And I only bring that up because a lot of experiencers have had a near-death experience. Now, I can't tell you that it was 100% because I don't have any memories of being so-called on the other side or anything like that, or being told you have to come back or anything like that. But I did see the complete white, just like this is the end type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I had a really weird next memory of being pulled out of the pond by a 7-year-old girl who shouldn't have been able to do that. And so it was kind of a weird thing that I always thought, wow, that's super weird. I should not have survived that. It was just a weird thing. And then the next strange thing, I suppose, was when I was about 17. I wasn't about 17, I was 17, and I saw the Hat Man for the first time. At that time, go ahead.
What is the
Sorry.
hat mat?
Yeah, so at the time, I didn't know what it was. At the time, it was just this big, giant, very solid shadow man with a tall hat and like a cape. Everything was black. And it walked into my room and got on top of me. And I was just terrified. It was probably the scariest thing, even to this day. and probably also because of perspective of being really young and not understanding what was going on. At the time, there was no internet or anything like that. I've never heard of Hatman or Shadow People or anything like that. Fast forward now in my 50s is when I saw a show on Gaia, I think, talking about Shadow People and Hatman, and that these things actually have a name, and that this is something other people see as well. So I was 17 when that happened with Hatman. And then all throughout my 20s, 30s, 40s, I had many experiences with Shadow People. And again, this is just a name I now know. I didn't call them Shadow People at the time, but there's these black shadows. At the time, I would have classified them as demons. They're very evil. They just get on top of you, and it feels like they're going to kill you. And this is something that is associated with a phenomenon known as sleep paralysis. And so this is something that happened to my siblings as well, and something we talked about, something that we believed was demonic at that time. And to back up a little bit, I come from a very strong Christian background. And
Okay.
so these are demons. There's no doubt that the evil is just pouring off of them, and what they're doing just goes hand in hand with this is not good. And so I had those experiences my entire life. Now looking back, I've been a lucid dreamer my whole life, and I've been going out of my body my whole life. And so it was just something that was very natural and normal to me. I didn't really realize until probably I was in my 20s at some point that not everybody is a lucid dreamer. Not everybody just pops out of their body and cruises, the ethers. And so that was all just kind of normal to me, and I didn't, think too much of it. And then I can super fast forward until I was in my 50s. And when I was in my 50s, just through some strange circumstances, I ended up being given some advice, which was just to write down my dreams. And so I started writing down my dreams. And from the minute I started writing down my dreams, it was almost like a light bulb came on. And it's my understanding that when you write down your dreams, it just hooks up your right and left brain, kind of opens up a communication, and it just allows you to access your subconscious mind. This is my understanding of what this process is. And so I start writing down my dreams, and right away I'm just thinking, what is going on? What's happening? For probably the first year and a half of what was going on, I didn't even want to wrap my mind around it. I kept telling myself, this can't be true. This can't be happening. This doesn't make any sense. And what I found myself in was your classic, what I used to think was crazy, spaceship hybrid program scenario. And again, for that first year and a half, and I'll just TMI to the entire audience because I did it on confessionals. At this point, I'm postmenopausal. And that's an important part because it took me a long time to say, wait a minute, this isn't possible what they're doing. This doesn't make any sense. What's happening? This can't actually be happening. And so I'm kind of just talking myself into this for the first year and a half or so when I realized what was going on. I didn't even want to believe it. This can't be. And so during this time, I'm realizing what's going on, and I slowly start to just become more and more lucid during these experiences. It started out with me feeling like it was probably a dream, and I'm writing a dream down, but my dreams are super freaking weird, and this is strange things. And I think I've said before to people, I didn't even want to really write them down because I didn't want someone to find my dream journal and think, man, she was losing it there at the end, And so this is a process. It takes a while to happen. I start becoming more and more lucid, and I start realizing that this is actually really happening because I'm becoming so lucid. It's very difficult to argue, even with myself, that this is happening. Now, I come from a very strong Christian background. I came from a background of what people call Calvinist. Just very strong, black and white. I don't know how familiar you would be, Stuart or Ted, even with that. It's just a very black and white view of religion. But in that moment, up until I was in my 50s, I would have told you I had the highest amount of faith possible in my religion, the highest amount possible. Couldn't even shake it. There's nothing you could say or do to shake my faith in my religion at that time. And so when I first really start realizing what's happening, I'm of the belief at this time that these are space aliens that I'm dealing with, that these are extraterrestrial beings from outer space. I think I was thinking, what are they doing? Why are they making all of these hybrids? And it was just a sense of, are they trying to save themselves from something? I didn't really know what was going on, but it was my belief that they were space aliens from other planets. In fact, the first time, have you guys heard of Ray Bosche?
No.
Either one of you? Ted? No.
No. No,
So Ray
I haven't.
Bosche is a paranormal investigator, but he's also a pastor. And I still remember the first time I heard Ray Bosche talk about aliens like they were demons. And I just thought, oh, this is really silly. These aren't demons. These are aliens. They're extraterrestrial. They're from outer space. They're from other planets. And to make it just a little short story out of a very long story, the more and more awake and lucid I became during my experiences, because I ended up having over the last 2.5 years, I stopped counting at about 230 experiences. This is an overwhelming number of experiences I was having. And this would include abductions, but also they lead to spiritual reality for me. And it includes attempted abductions as well, and different types of downloaded information and stuff like that.
Yeah. L let
So,
me let me ask you, did you ever have a like a phobia of the alien form?
the only phobia I felt was really when I was somewhere probably in my late teens, I saw the book Communion. And
Communion, yeah.
I actually took it home. I think I checked it out from the library. And it was one of those really weird things where I didn't want to touch the cover of the book. And I don't even think I actually read the book. I think I opened it and, started peeking at it. And I didn't even want my fingers to touch the cover. I had to turn it upside down, because I didn't even want to see the cover. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, it was one of those weird things.
A lot of people
And
had that reaction to that book.
there's something about the cover of that book, that does affect a lot of people. I've heard people say that before. And so I get to where I'm becoming very lucid, and I'm realizing that this is actually happening, and having to admit it to myself. And I just become then more and more aware during my experiences. And what I start to realize is that they're transferring my soul into other bodies. Yes, I notice. Again, we're on alien talk, right? It sounds crazy, but it took me a while then again to wrap my mind around that. Like, this is actually happening. I am in someone else's body. This is not making any sense. And so when that started happening, I realized, these are not space aliens at all. These beings are very interested in our souls, and definitely in my soul. And they were doing things that they're difficult to put into words, that they were doing things with my soul. Some things that involved testing, that made me realize that this was much more than it appeared to be. And so that's when I said, okay, what's really going on here? I've been accepting this narrative that these are space aliens. I thought this guy called Ray Bosche was literally a nut job when he associated aliens with humans. But now I'm having to look at this from another perspective. And I kind of just stopped taking, and I'm going to say their word for it, but they're not telling me anything. It's just an environment where everything is just numb. And they try to put these ideas out there and these concepts and symbols in your head. And so things are just known. So they're not telling you what they are, who they're from, or what planet they're from. It's just known what they're doing. And so I start questioning the narrative that these are space aliens. And what ended up happening was it was the year of the late 2022. I'm now realizing this is happening. This is not okay. These are not space aliens. There's something else going on here. And I start really pushing back during abductions because by this time I'm becoming very lucid. And it did get to at about this time last year where I was 100% lucid and awake at some points during abductions, as awake as I am right now talking to you. And so
Can you
the more I
describe
studied,
what was going on in those moments?
I will when I get there, but I can't, I'm not going to go into anything too descriptive because it's very personal and it's very graphic. But I will, I'll write that down and just make sure I get there. So, and hopefully I'm not dragging this out too much. And so I start becoming really lucid and I start realizing this is not the surface of what this appears to be. This is not that. And I start really pushing back on the journey of abductions, down to where I'm actually sometimes physically fighting during abductions. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't last long. They just knock you right out. I'm not a superhero. It's just, I cause whatever disruption I can. And I'm going through a lot of testing. And next thing I know, I am being what I refer to as kind of kicked up the food chain. And what's up above the food chain from the aliens are literally humans. And these are things that have a completely different energy signature. They're just evil. And I know some people in this world don't even think that there's any evil out there. And I definitely beg to differ just with what I saw in my own law enforcement career. But they're evil. They have a different energy signature. They're disembodied. But they can come into other bodies. So they can come into alien bodies. They love reptilian bodies, it seems. And so I start dealing with these demons that I know are demons. And they appear many times to have the head of a animal and then the body of a human. And
Oh,
now
good.
going, oh crap, what the heck? Okay, aliens are one thing, demons are a whole other ballgame. And so now I'm dealing with these things that are higher up the food chain, and they seem to be in charge of this operation. And a bunch of things happen there. And then it ends up, it's a very long and complicated story that I've never actually fully told. But it ends up to where I get kind of kicked up the food chain to these reptilian beings. The reptilians are literally possessed by demons. Yes, I know we're on alien talk and this sounds insane. One of these demons actually gave me his name, which I will not repeat out loud, but I'll tell you it was the costume that Elon Musk wore at Halloween a couple years ago that people were talking about. And this is a high level, top level demon. Now, do I believe this demon that that's his name? I don't know. But that's how bad it gets, where they're telling me this is mine. And then again, I'm not really taking no for an answer, and I end up suffering some very severe punishments for pushing back on this agenda. And there were sexual violations, and I'll kind of just leave it at that. But it was 100% punishment. And it's not a misunderstanding. It's not something I'm mischaracterizing or anthropomorphizing. It was 100% no punishment for me pushing back on the whole narrative of them being our space brothers. And so it was like once I saw behind the curtain and I stopped and said, okay, what's actually going on here? And I really started figuring out for myself what's actually going on here. And I kind of started answering my own questions and coming into my own conclusions of what was happening. They just kind of kept kind of putting the pressure up more and more and more. It ends in these few incidents that happened at about this time last year, literally in March. It was so.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'll be brief. You can hear me? Okay. Do you think the reptilians are in charge over the others?
You know,
I asked that because you referring to being kicked up the food chain as if you've reached a higher level. I may perhaps I misunderstood that, but I'm just wondering if where you are now, do you think the reptilians are probably over the others, as the greys, the mantids, etc.?
I think they're over some of the more physical so-called aliens. So I think that the reptilians and the mantids are on a similar, if you look at it as a ranking system, I think they're similar, but they're almost two sides of a coin. And so the reptilians are very savage and sociopathic and very much not in control of themselves. Where you have the mantids, and understand that the mantids are actually probably the one being that have no conscious memories of. All of my memories that I'm speaking to about are conscious. I've never had any regression. But it's my understanding from talking to others, the mantids are actually very kind of cold and calculated and very intelligent. And so which one of them is above the other, I don't know. I almost think that the reptilians are the goons, if that makes sense. For the whole operation. But I will also say that the reptilians seem to be the most compatible for the demons. So the demons like to go into the reptilians, if that makes sense. So I think because of a demonic personality, they're much more compatible with the reptilian being than any of the others. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I'll follow you. Thank
So
you.
when I say getting kicked up the food chain, I got kicked up the food chain for demons. The demons are occupying the bodies of the reptilians and literally telling you what they are and who they are. So that happens. At this time last year, I was terrified. So in about the middle of this, from about October of 2022 to about March, April of 2023, I was in warrior's mood status. I was like, bring it. Go ahead. If you're going to do it, I'm going to handle it. Like, no problem. And it was really stupid of me, very, much ego centered. By this time last year in 2023, I was terrified to go to sleep. I was literally living in a Nightmare on Elm Street scenario where I would look around and get jealous of people who could just go to sleep. Because I knew the second I go to sleep, I was in their territory and not somebody would try to get me. So it got to where I was wearing a helmet to bed every night. I was wearing a helmet made of a material called bellow staff. I was taking a lot of different measures. I was using scalar waves. I was using a Fitbit. I had an air tag at one point. Right now, Ted, I have the magnets in my bed. So I spent from March, April, terrified. I had promised myself I'm not going back to that place. I can't survive. So I spent about 7 or 8 months kind of just healing from it and kind of just investigating what can I do? Is there anything I can do to stop this? And I mean, the short story is I haven't found anything yet, but that's where I'm at right now. I'll just say that. So in about October of last year, I stopped wearing the helmet. I realized that it wasn't working, and that I was just reaching kind of for a security blanket type thing. And that's going to be me. Someone's at my front door. And then in October, I kind of just got my little warrior mentality back, and I just thought, I have to take this helmet off. It's not working, and I have to just face this, for whatever it is. And in the meanwhile, I did many, many, many things this whole last year. It even involved a lot of prayer and a lot of spiritual things that I did, and just taking any measure I possibly could to stop these abductions. And I'll just tell you a short story. Like I've said 14 times already, it hasn't stopped. Even
Has
at
it
all.
like reduced at all?
Yeah, so the phenomenon to me is very multifaceted. And so looking back on my own story, there's a very supernatural side to the phenomenon, but there's also a very physical side to the phenomenon. And in my personal opinion, the physical side of the phenomenon is creating this hybrid race for whatever reason. And we can agree or disagree on the reasons. But that is a very physical aspect of the phenomenon. They take physical materials from our physical bodies and they're creating physical hybrids. So even though they're metaphysical beings and they can kind of phase in and out of our reality, there's a very physical nuts and bolts side to the phenomenon. But there's also a very non-physical or spiritual side to the phenomenon as well. And I know it's really difficult to bring those two things together. For instance, I spent my whole life being paralyzed by these shadow people. And then when I was in my 50s and I started becoming more and more lucid, I was able to stay awake and realize the shadow people were taking me to abductions. And so I started realizing more and more and just being able to put this puzzle together more and more. And so what happened during that period up until this time of last year is I had started realizing this is a lot more than it appears to be. And about this time last year, I found UFO Twitter, which is, I've had a Twitter account for a long time, but I never put any attention to it. I get onto UFO Twitter. I find this community of other people who are talking about these things. And one of the first things that happened was I found Masqueraded Angels by Carl Jung. And I started reading Ted's story, and I couldn't even get through 5 pages without realizing, wait, this is my story. This is exactly what happens to me. And right down to the description of reptilian body parts that other people just would not know unless they had experienced it. And when I got to that part of the book, I just thought, oh my God, this is happening to other people. This is exactly what I would describe it as. And this is exactly happening now to other people. And this is something that had happened to Ted many years ago. And here it is happening to me. And so during this time, when I told you I had stopped kind of taking the premise at face value and really just started going, okay, what's actually going on? I had come to some of my own conclusions on what was happening. And then what happened is I got to UFO Twitter and I started being exposed to the material, to the abduction material, to the history, UFO history. And I start realizing, oh my gosh, other people are talking about this. Some of my experiences, which were not retrieved through regression, which are just conscious memories, I can read about in David Jacobs' material, the same exact scenarios. And then again, in Carla Turner's material. And so many of my own stories that I have written down in my own journal, I'm reading about in the abduction research. And that's when I just thought, okay, wow, this is happening to other people. I'm not alone, on like some, I don't want to curse, some crazy woman, random crazy woman, from who knows where. Well, no, this is actually happening to a lot of other people. And Ted was one of them. And so Ted was the first story, Masquerade of Angels, that I read and went, oh, crap. He couldn't have made this up because this is exactly how I would describe something. And so that's why I have such an affection for Ted. Because he was the first story I actually read that was posted on Twitter that spoke about these reptilians. And by the way, my reptilians don't look exactly like yours, Ted. But that male body part that you described in your book, you can't make up.
What was that body part? I'm not gonna
You want
describe
to say it?
it. You go right ahead.
Let's just say it resembles a male dog.
All right. Okay.
And mine had some extra features as well that I'm not going to get into and describe. But that's when it just hit me in the gut. Ted's story. So Ted was talking about transferring souls which had happened to me. And so many things that had happened to me. And then I read Carla Turner's other books, and then I'm getting into David Jacobs stuff. And so what had happened to me is I'd kind of come to my own ideas on what this was all about. And so then to come across the abduction research and start hearing other people saying the same exact thing, a lot of people will call that confirmation bias, but I called it confirmation. Like, wow, I came to a lot of my own conclusions, and then to come across research that I didn't even know existed, that was saying exactly the same thing about us. And the bottom line is that they're not our friends. That's what they're saying.
Despite what people think,
They're not our friends.
can I just ask you, how do you know that the reptilians are possessed?
So it is difficult to explain, but each being has its own energy signature. And during abductions, they actually try to fool us by using different energy signatures. They actually will present themselves as things that they are not. And so, for instance, if I had an abduction tomorrow, they might present themselves as you, Stuart. They might show themselves as Stuart, and I'm gonna look at them and go, "Yeah, you're not Stuart. Try again." And they'll literally just transform right before your eyes into something else. And so, they have a visual control over what we see. And then they can also affect our emotions, and they can affect what I call an energy signature. And that is what makes you you. It's what makes you unique. To make it very simple, it's not much different than if you look at a dog, it's a dog. Well, how do you know it's a dog? Because everything about it says dog to you, right? And so the energy that's inside that body has to match the body. And when it doesn't match, it can become very obvious. And so I had many encounters with the reptilians when they were just reptilians. They were not possessed by a demon at all. And then when the demon came into the body, they made sure I knew. And again, up to and including telling me its name.
It's like a
So
change.
there was unambiguous what happened. And they made it very, very clear
Okay,
who they were and what they were about.
so is have the demons created the reptilians then?
So, that's a really good question. I'm not sure they're capable of creating a whole lot from scratch. I think, and yet, now this is just what I think. I think the reptilians and the mantids are likely hybrids themselves. I don't think these things are from outer space. I think they're from right here. I think they're from Earth. I think we have interdimensional beings that Christians would call angels and fallen angels. And then we have something called demons, which is just the spirit of what Christians would call a Nephilim. And so, if you really go back into, and I know this isn't a religious show, but if we go back into the scriptures and we go back into the cultures, I think there's something like 500 cultures around the world, and they all tell the same story. And they tell a story about a superior race of beings who end up mixing with humanity. And this is a story that's not just told in the Bible, it's told in many places. And I believe that those creatures are what we refer to in Christianity. We call them the Nephilim. They've been referred to as the men of renown, and maybe the Titans and the Greek gods. They're referred to as gods, something that is higher up the chain than humans. They have more powers than humans. And so there are some people who believe that demons are actually spirits, the disincarnate spirits of these beings. Now, can a demon create something? I'm not so sure. Can a demon go into an avatar body and use that avatar body to perhaps create something? Maybe. And so, what I really think has happened is these fallen beings that we speak of, in Christianity, we call them fallen angels. The very first thing they did was mix with human women, and they created these hybrid beings. Those hybrid beings had more powers, or superior, like almost superpowers compared to humans. So they'd call them maybe even superheroes if they were on the good side. So I think these beings were probably the first hybrids, and I think that that has really never stopped. And so I think that hybrid line was probably perfected over many, many, many years, and that these hybrid beings are being used to interact with us in the 3D. So if you think of something like a demon, they're non-corporeal. They don't have a physical body that they can maintain for very long. So they would need something to work through. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah, it does.
And so I think these aliens are mostly hive-minded. They're very task-oriented, and they kind of just get their jobs done. But we have to ask ourselves, what's behind the aliens?
Yeah.
How did they?
I think it also kind of explains why you've got a physical aspect to it and then a supernatural aspect to it. The
Exactly.
physical apps that is what these The physical a aspect is what these demons have created. And then the
Exactly.
supernatural is like, Ted, you asked a priest once, how do angels travel about? And he said, well, they're ethereal. And then Ted, you said, or maybe sometimes they go around in UFOs. But yeah, I think that would perfectly, that just, it's making a lot of sense to me what you're saying.
And I'm not saying I have it all figured out by any means, but this is what it seems to be. And so there are creatures that are above these demons. In Christianity, we call them the fallen. And those are the beings I think that are, if there's any creative ability whatsoever, I think it's with them. But again, I think that they're much better at tinkering with what has already been created than coming up with really anything original. Because when you look at the mantids, we already have that. When you look at the reptilians, we already have that. When you look at the hybrids, we already have that. And so it seems to me like they can tinker with and hybrid what's already been created. And they have superior technology. And so if you're trying to get your avatars around the planet to carry out whatever your agenda is, you need a physical craft, or at least a metaphysical craft that can go between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So there has to be a technology that can be physical in the physical realm and also go into the spiritual realm. And that's what I think the UFOs are. When you really look at the abduction research, UFOs are used for one thing and one thing only. And that is, let me say this, they're used primarily for abductions. What are we doing during abductions? They're creating hybrids. Their sole purpose is to create a race of hybrids. And so at that point, you have to ask yourself why that is. Why are they creating a race of hybrids? And Ted, I know you might have a couple of different ideas on that as to whether that's even true. And I will give you that in a heartbeat because you can't believe anything they say or imply. So you always have to take it with a grain of salt. What are they doing? What does it appear they're doing? You have to pull the puzzle pieces together from many different places to kind of put a picture together to see what's actually going on. You know, connecting the dots is a really easy way to put it. When you really start connecting the dots and you see a pattern emerging, that's what I'm going. Now, does that mean I 100% know every single thing that's going on or how they're doing it? Absolutely not. But the big picture to me appears to be they're creating a race of hybrids. Now, when you look at the abduction literature, they're telling people why they're creating this race of hybrids, and that is for a planetary takeover. Now, should we take them at that word? Probably not. You know, we probably shouldn't take them at that word, but it has to at least be on the table because they're telling us what they're doing. So, I don't
Question.
remember what your question was, Stuart, but that's what I'm right.
Go ahead, Ted.
If they're creating all these hybrids, where are these hybrids? Where are they?
That's a good question, Ted. And so what, and I'm going to speak Sometimes when I'm speaking from my own experience, and sometimes I'm drawing from the many abductees I've spoken to, and sometimes from the abduction research. And so, by many accounts, many of these hybrids are already actually here living among us. Some are still on the ships. You have what seems to be happening is the hybrids are actually taking over the jobs of the Greys. So the Greys are kind of being elevated into the Manta jobs. The hybrids are elevating into the Grey jobs. And these are the hybrids that can't fit in as well down here on Earth. And then they're taking the hybrids that can really fit in on Earth, and they're using their abductees to train hybrids on how to act human. And they're literally living here in colonies. I was speaking to an abductee the other day who worked with David Jacobs, and she's telling me there are thousands of these ships in the sky at any given moment, and there's a whole conglomeration. They almost work in the style of a corporation, where one part of the corporation is in charge of a geographical area, and then another part of the corporation is in charge of a different geographical area, and all they do is carry out abductions. It's almost 24/7. This is, they're single-mindedly focused on making these hybrids. And so, what was your question, Ted?
Where are the
Should have
hybrids?
down. Where are they? They're
Yeah.
on the ships and they're living amongst us. If
Hmm.
you look at David Jacobs' last book, they've been living amongst us for many years already. It's not something that's just happened overnight.
Taking the idea that as well, that demons are inhabiting these reptilians and hybrids, if there's a lot of demons, they're going to need a lot of hybrids.
They would. And, I wonder, are they looking for incarnation opportunities? There's a lot of things I just wonder and kind of pick around, things I don't have the answer to.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the demons, there's something above the demons. And that something is frighteningly powerful.
Could it be fallen angels?
Christians would call it fallen angels. Let me back up a little bit. So I came from a very, very fundamentally Christian background, right? And then I start realizing what's happened, and I said, the Christians are crazy. These are not demons at all. They're aliens. And I ended up actually coming full circle. Once I met the demons, I said, oh, okay, I hear you. And I kind of actually came all the way back around. And it's my belief that the Christians and other religions as well, the Muslims believe in the jinn. And again, I think the last count was something like 500 cultures around the world believe in some type of being that is spiritual and malevolent. And so I did not go into this thinking that aliens were demons. A lot of people will say, well, you're a Christian, so of course that's what you think. No, of course that's not what I thought. That's not what I thought at all. As a matter of fact, I pushed back on that idea. I thought it was silly. I thought it was very silly that Christians would think that aliens were demons. And the aliens aren't demons. They're different. But there are demons high up that region. Or could these demons be looking for incarnational opportunities in the hybrids? Possibly. I think they can also find them amongst humans as well. But maybe the hybrids are a little bit more compatible. There's this really weird thing where the soul has to be compatible with the genetics of the body. And so maybe that's it. But there's something higher up than the demons. And yes, Christians would probably call it the fallen. I don't know if there's a step in between or not. But this creature that I have, for lack of a better way to put it, had contact with was extremely powerful, more powerful than I could put into words. It appeared to be here or on its way here, almost here, but already here at the same time. And it seemed to be here living inside the earth already, but perhaps coming into its power still. Like maybe it had been restrained for some time and it was kind of coming around into its power. Frighteningly powerful, insurmountable power. is hard to explain.
How does it exercise this power? Like, how do you know it's powerful?
So it's there it's just a presence about it. It's just its energy. It's just its presence. And when you're in a telepathic environment for a long time, I think you just kind of learn some things and pick up on some things. And that's really the only way for me to explain. It's as obvious as you looking at Ted and saying, "Oh, that's Ted." It's that obvious. And so I know it's hard for me to articulate, and I apologize for that, but it's just incredibly obvious. It's just it's something that is just known. So when you're in that telepathic environment, things are just known and they just are. And it's something like that. But difficult to explain in people words to.
It sounds like you're describing like this being is in hell, but it's able to project itself out of the hell. If because you're saying it's in the center of the earth, and where do you think hell
It
is? It's in the
wasn't,
center.
yeah, I didn't perceive it as hell. I perceived it as here, but not here.
That makes sense though, because when a demon possesses a person, that demon is actually in hell as well though. But it's projecting itself out of hell. This is what I understand from Father Malachi Martin. And he was saying that even just it being in someone is a relief from the suffering that it goes through, and that this is why they're always looking to possess something.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I look at the demons as inhabiting the astral realm, but I could obviously there could definitely be some overlap there. And so this last particular being I'm referring to didn't seem to be in hell. It seemed to be deep in the earth. Hopefully I'm not just wasting time right now. They seem to be deep in the earth, very, very powerful here, but not here. But something that was coming at the same time. In other words, we have seen nothing yet. That this power has yet to be unleashed. Hopefully that explains it a little bit better.
Ted, have you experienced that before?
That
No.
power?
No.
No. Oh, are you talking to Ted? My screen is now really shiny, Ted. I can barely see you. It's my own sun coming in.
It's the life. Ted,
Yes.
no, you've never experienced that, Ted.
Not in that way, no. Not that I recognize.
It's all very interesting, fascinating, really, like.
It is fascinating.
Okay.
Fascinating.
When I was reading your account, okay, you got to the point where you were so terrified. I think this is before you really knew what was going on, that you were taking a gun into the shower.
Oh, yeah, that was most of my adult life.
Oh.
And so when you look back, so with what I know now, abductees actually show a lot of signs that are all very similar. And I was showing those signs my whole life, but I didn't know why. Kind of going back to, well, I have no conscious memories of alien abduction between the ages of my first aliens I saw was 3 and a half. And then I didn't see them again in my conscious memories until I was in my 50s. But during that time, I was dealing with the shadow people. I now know the shadow people can transport you to an abduction, but I didn't know it at that time. So all I know is I'm being taken by these shadow people. I don't have conscious memories of any abductions happening, yet imagine how unsafe that would make you feel subconsciously. And so I was the kind of person, and still am the kind of person. I mean, let's face it, I'm the person you call when your house is being broken into. And I'll go running into that house any day of the week, preferably with a partner, but that was my job for almost 20 years. And so, but at the same time, I'm afraid to go to sleep at night. I'm sleeping with the light on, I'm staying up at night. I'm taking a gun into the shower. So those two things don't even go together, right? They don't even match. And so those are subconscious things, I think, that are coming forward. And at the time, I didn't understand why. I did have an abusive childhood. People say, well, you must just be taking your abusive childhood and putting it onto the aliens. And it's just not the case at all. And you can either, take that or leave it. There are going to be people who will always think that, and there's not a lot I can do about it. And so at the time, I kind of related anything strange like that, I would relate it to, a childhood trauma, because I did have some problems growing up. I had an abusive stepfather. And so I would look at any insecurities like that as I would put it on that. And then when I started just doing my own research into my own case, I come to find out many abductees are taken from a shower. And so even though I have no conscious memories of that, by the time I was in fourth grade, I was terrified of taking a shower. I didn't want to be in the bathroom by myself. I didn't want to go to sleep at night. And so I'll never be able to say with 100% certainty, well, the reason I didn't want to go in the shower and I'm taking a gun into the shower and I feel insecure in the shower is because I've been abducted from the shower. I don't know that. I have no memories of that. But I can tell you that after talking to researchers, I've been told very matter-of-factly that's a very common place to be taken from.
Does now knowing what you know now, okay, do you like scan back through your career as a police officer and you're like, oh my God, this person was acting completely crazy in this situation? Were they possibly possessed, or maybe like there was a woman who was locked outside her house at night and couldn't get back in. No, but she went to bed asleep, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So I was always very, there was always a part of me who knew that knew we when we when I came across people who appeared to be crazy, I always knew that some of what they were saying was true. And I kind of always thought they were probably seeing things that might actually be there, if that makes any sense.
Or
And
hearing
so I always
voices.
had, yeah, I always had that perspective for whatever reason. I don't know. But I've dealt with many, many, many people with mental health issues. And I always thought there was some truth there, what they were seeing and what they were seeing. I didn't always take it as not being real or true. Unfortunately, many times there's actually a mental health issue and then a drug addiction as well, or some type of substance abuse. And so when you combine those two things is when the lines really get crossed. And that's when you can take someone who might be seeing something that might be real, you add in the wrong substance, and now you're looking true psychosis. And so there's always a line there. As far as a single case, what you're describing, no.
No, you've never
But,
heard of someone like waking up in the wrong house.
well, yes, I mean, in police work, there are many crazy stories, right? 20 years, lots and lots of crazy stories. If that's what you're asking, I would just think they had a little too much experience.
All right.
That's what.
Okay. So you, as an investigator, you've obviously gone back through your life and done a bit of investigating. What's your process? Like, how do you know what kind of information to keep and what to throw away? Because when you're dealing with this phenomenon, there's so much bullshit out there. Okay. There's so many things
Oh,
that aren't true.
yeah. So just for myself, I've come to, just because of the number of experiences I've had, I've come to recognize the red flags that come with my own experiences. I've come to not trust anything I see, but at the same time, you can't trust nothing you see. They don't have 100% control over us. If there weren't some weaknesses in their armor, they wouldn't have to use mind control and knock us out and try to put us to sleep or put us into zombie land to do what they do. So they don't, they're not omnipotent, they're not all powerful. So when I realized that a lot of the things I was seeing So I would see something, and I've brought up this example before. I'm at the mall with hybrids, and without going into a lot of detail about that, a researcher would say that's a screen memory. That's probably a screen memory. You probably weren't really at the mall with a hybrid, right? And then I read in David Jacobs' book that many of the bees are going to the mall with hybrids or going to Walmart and just doing these seemingly very mundane tasks. And so what started happening is I began to trust what I was seeing more because I was also able to see, and I don't want anyone to think I'm infallible or 100%, but I was also able to see when they were tricking me. And so there were times when they were trying to trick me, and I would just go, yeah, no, try again, because I know that that's not real. And sure enough, they would try again. And so my process ended up just being through experience. Once I realized that I shouldn't be taking this at face value, which took me probably longer than it really should have. And I think that's because of the mind control. Once I realized that and I started just putting my own pieces together, I started looking at my own stuff. And then I could compare it to the abduction literature of people who have regressed memories, hundreds of people, and realize that so much of this is corroborated on both sides now. So you have somebody who's not been regressed and people who have been regressed, and all of what we're seeing is the same. Very many things that we're seeing is the same. And so there were then certain things I could trust and certain things that I still wouldn't. So for my own process, it's more about experience, and it's about having so many experiences that I started learning what was probably real, what wasn't. I was getting to the point where I could kind of see, I would even ask myself, is this an overlay? Is this actually what I'm seeing? Is this actually real, or is this something my mind is filling in? I think this is also coming from so many years of just having a lifetime of lucid dreaming experience. You know, once you wake up in a lucid dream, you can actually direct the dream and kind of make things happen for yourself or change things up in the dream. And so I think for me, it's just about experience. And then again, when I see my experiences, which researchers thought were screen memories, actually matching up with actual real regressed memories, that's when I became fairly confident in my own ability to see through their lives. Now, make no mistake, I am suspicious of every single thing they do. And even my own conclusions, I hold loosely because they are master manipulators and they could be manipulating me right now. And I will never get to the place where I believe I am not being manipulated or capable of being manipulated because that's a huge weakness and a huge blind spot right there.
Going forward, all right, do you feel that you getting kind of closer to God, believing in Jesus Christ, do you think that has an effect on it?
No, I do. So I actually went through a crisis, and please forgive me, I can no longer see myself or either one of you.
We can barely see you, but it's fine.
Okay, should I don't know. It's probably better that you can barely see me.
No,
Unless it's content for the show.
yeah.
I went through a crisis of the soul when this was happening. So I started out hardcore Christian. I realized what was going on. I realized that these things do have a lot of power. At some point, I realized that there is a very good chance they have some power over the afterlife. Very ma many dark things happen. And I actually went into a crisis. I actually thought, oh my goodness, is everything I've ever believed a lie? You know, is it not true? Did I just fall hook, line, and sinker for a lie my whole life just because I was born into this and grew up into this? Now, if you had asked me at the time, I had done a lot of research too. You know, I had read a lot of books, I had listened to a lot of teachers, but I had to stop and say, do I believe this because it's true, or do I believe this because this was taught to me in my life? I actually completely disconnected from Christianity during this time. It started probably in about October of 2022. I was super, I became super jaded against Christianity. I felt very betrayed. by Christianity, because I felt like I had not been told the truth about what was going on out there. I felt like I had been deceived. Now, that's my own responsibility. I'm not just going to blame, the religion. It's my own responsibility to not be deceived, right? It's my own responsibility not just to take what I was taught as at face value. And so I take responsibility for that. And so I went through an entire crisis of the soul, disconnected from religion. I had to ask myself, I mean, I went down all the rabbit holes. There are people who think, who believe in the inverted story, like the Sumerian story, or that the serpent was actually the good guy in the Garden of Eden. And I'm not just talking about Christianity. I'm talking about the story that's told worldwide for thousands of years in many different cultures. So I completely disconnected from that, and I just had to reevaluate myself. What is true and what is not true. And it was during the same process that I was evaluating the so-called aliens, for what's actually true and what's not true. And after a long dark night of the soul, I actually came right back around, right back to Christianity. But I think it was something I had to choose for myself. I think I had to make that choice of my own volition instead of, and I'm not saying people who have always believed that there's anything wrong with those people, but for whatever reason, my personal path was to have to make that decision for myself, was to have to break down the entirety of what was going on and rebuild and say, okay, what is true? What is alive? And really see the big picture for what I believe it is. And so I actually ended up being walked right back into Christianity, although I would say it's probably with a larger view, and some Christians would call me a heretic because of, some of the things that I said. To answer your question, hopefully, I ended up realizing that there's a huge spiritual component to this. We talked about how this is a nuts and bolts thing that's happening. But there is a spiritual phenomenon behind this nuts and bolts phenomenon. And the nuts and bolts is even metaphysically. It crosses, from 4D into 3D. And so when you look at the spiritual component, I ended up coming all the way back around, doing a lot of prayers. I had a preacher who was involved in a situation where a young boy in Thailand had been dead for 45 minutes, I believe, who prayed this little boy back to life, not through his own power. Obviously, he would give credit to the Holy Spirit. That preacher has prayed for me. And I kind of started going from, you don't understand, this is a physical phenomenon. They are using technology to snatch me out of my bed and to transfer my soul. I was walked all the way back around into, wait a minute, this is a spiritual phenomenon. This is, I think what the story in the Bible is actually true. So remember, because I had disconnected from that story. And so once I realized, oh man, this is much more spiritual than I ever gave it credit for. Yes, indeed. I ended up reconnecting back to the religion of my birth, reconnecting back, doing a lot of prayers. Again, with this pastor, I will tell you right now, I'm going for something called deliverance next month in April, because that's how much I believe this is spiritual, not just physical. You've heard a lot of people say that the name of Jesus Christ can stop an abduction. And I will always be very honest and say that has never been true. Even when I was a kid, or not as a kid, but well, when I was 17. And even throughout my 20s, 30s, and 40s, anytime I was confronted with these shadow people, I would call out for Jesus. I would call out for Christ. And it never worked for me. Now, does that mean it doesn't work? No. There are many people who will testify to say that it does work for them. I'm to the point now where I believe that this possibility, number one, we haven't even talked about the black tech that our government has. If our government's using black tech for an abduction, they don't care about the name of Jesus. And we could also be dealing with different levels of entities who don't care. or will not be commanded by me, saying in the name of Jesus. And we could also just be facing, the brazen, mostly just AI robots. They don't care about Jesus, right? And so if we want to just talk religion, if I believe in a God that is almighty and all powerful, could he stop that abduction? Absolutely. But that has never worked for me. And so that's just something that I have to deal with and wrap my mind around and punch through and figure out. But yes, I have come all the way back around to Christianity. Again, some people would say she's not a Christian. She believes that the Greys might be involved in the afterlife. But that's what I want.
All
So.
right. Ted, do you want to say anything before we go?
No, I'm fascinated with her whole story.
Oh,
We
yeah.
haven't even scratched the
It's
surface, Ted. I've not even told a single story.
very different than mine, and I'm learning from what you're saying, and I relate to a lot of it. So I find it fascinating.
Fringe, would you come on again sometime?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really told a lot of stories. I just kind of went on an overview and down some rabbit holes and probably some rambling, which is kind of usually what happens,
No,
in a
yeah.
conversation.
That was very good. You spoke very well as well.
And Ted, I want you to know that you were instrumental in literally saving my life, literally. And I don't say that lightly.
Oh, my
I mean,
goodness.
I was lost when I came across that book.
Okay. Well, gee, I'm glad that I did something good.
You did something very good.
Well, I think Carla and I put together a fascinating book. She was the first one that when I started telling her all the things that happened in my life, and she was taking notes and she had a recorder. She was recording all these things. And I honestly, and being naive, I just never associated with all the things that had happened to me in my life as the connecting story that made Masquerade. And she saw it right away. And she said, you know, this is so vital. We have to show a lifelong connection with what they've done to you throughout your life to put you where you are now. And so we did. And I'm grateful for that.
And you done good, Ted. You saved my life. I'm not even joking when I say that. Not even good.
Before we go, I want to bring something out that was in Masquerade that people never talk about. And I think in helping understand their association and relationship with us, we have to look at this part of Masquerade. And that is when I was 8 years old and I was taken out of the cotton field at my grandmother's farm, my first abduction there that we recalled, and I was taken and cloned. And after the cloning, I was brought and put on a stage in front of all of these hundreds of different kind of creatures. And I described some of them. Bigfoot was one of them. I saw several of those in there. But they brought out 12 little guys that served as good angels. Their job was to see that I accomplished good things that God or Christianity wanted me to accomplish. At the same time, I was assigned 12 demons in little hooded characters with little red eyes under there that were very frightening to look at. And their job was to tear everything down. And that was where I saw that this is a connection of what they're doing to all humans. We may not be aware of it, but this is what they're doing. And it's part of a program. And I just wanted to leave that with you. I think people should pay more attention to that and study that part of it more. Thank you.
And I agree with that so much, Ted. And this goes back to where I felt betrayed by the church. Because I was taught, don't look over there and don't look over there. Just keep your head down and be good. And I was speaking to someone in a space the other day, and hopefully that's not my, well,
No,
you can't see me
that
anymore.
was my phone.
Which is probably a good thing, because I would just be messing with my hair and doing that. I spoke to a Muslim gentleman in one of my spaces the other day, and this gentleman said, I don't know what's happening over there in America, but we are taught this as young children, and we are taught this in school. We are taught that you have an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other shoulder, and they call them jinn. We are taught, and I don't want to mischaracterize what this gentleman is saying. We're taught that it's the jinn's job to pull you in this direction away from God, and it's the angel's job. And unfortunately for us, Ted, the angel's job is the angel is more restricted, and they work in much more subtle ways. They don't
Right.
just grab you by the hand and force you into the kingdom, right?
That
The devil
absolutely.
can do whatever it wants to get you away, but the angels are always playing by the rules. And so the angel's job is to subtly influence you toward good and toward the light. And the devil's job is to hook you to the dark. And when he said that, I just thought, wow, what is going on here? On one hand, things are, we established this country with this separation of church and state, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, so let's just leave it up to the churches, which is where it belongs. But on the other hand, the churches are not teaching us this, Ted. They're not teaching this. They didn't teach me that.
Well, they don't understand it.
They don't understand
They
it. It
think
took
they
me.
do, but
You're
this is
absolutely
where,
right.
when the Bible carries people so far, but it
Right.
doesn't reveal all of God's secrets.
You're absolutely right, Ted. And I realize that now at this age, but yeah, I mean, I cannot tell you the darkness I went through to get to where I am right now. And so I do believe that that was a personal process I did have to go through. But at the same time, what the church has done is has desupernaturalized the word. And so we say things like, oh, well, of course, Mary, a virgin, got pregnant. Oh, sure, of course, no problem. We swallow that hook, line, and sinker. But when you have a human woman who's being used to create a hybrid with these very same creatures who started out in Genesis 6, we find that to be incredulous and not can't possibly be real and true. And so how did that happen? That's what I want to know. How did that happen?
Yeah, but I want to throw something else at you before we go. Those 12 so-called angels correlate with the 12 signs of the zodiac, and they use the zodiac formula to decide when we are ready for a change that will rest where astrology fits into their program. Had you been aware of that?
I became aware of that at some point last year. And that's something that, again, most Christians would say is, some kind of New Age nonsense.
Well, of course they would. They don't know any different, so naturally they would take that stand. But there again, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. The Bible takes us very far, but it doesn't reveal all of God's secrets. We don't know everything that's in the program that God has laid out
And you
for
know
you.
what, Ted? I'm not sure we're meant to know. I'm not sure we're supposed to know.
Well,
I think that it's something we have to figure out without being led by the nose, if that makes sense.
yes.
So if you look at the demons on one side and the angels on the other, and the demons can get you by hook or by crook, but the angels can only give you subtle signs and subtle help. Because if you don't get there on your own, have you really gotten there at all?
No. But I suspect, and I'm going to use the word I'm suspicious, because I don't know for sure, but I think being baptized is like an insurance policy. That it's your passport into a safe haven or heaven at some point. And I think that we need to pay attention to that passport or that policy there. That's our ticket into heaven.
Interesting. And that's a ritual. So that's
Yes,
fascinating.
it is ritual. But so much of what's going on is.
It so much is, and it's on, and we can have that on both sides.
Sure.
So yeah, very interesting, Greg. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I appreciate you coming on our program.
And I appreciate you for saving my life, literally.
Well, you're paying it
I
back. But I mean, look at all the work you're doing yourself as an investigator, and your stories are that you've shared today are fascinating. People
Yeah.
will learn from this. So, you're paying it back in a different way.
I am trying, but I won't take credit for that, Ted. I have to tell you the reason I started my website and my Twitter account was in defiance of what was happening. So I can't really take credit for it. It wasn't from a good place. I started it as being very rebellious. But I continue it with it.
All right, thank you, listeners, and till the next time.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Good to talk to you guys.
Okay, take care of your little dog.